Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
How many of you have heard the phrase, because this was just tax week, that there are no certain things in life, or the only sure things in life are death and taxes? How many of you have heard that? Of course you have. Very common phrase. Just got through tax. We've all paid our taxes. Good. Now, how many of you believe that there are only sure things in life are death and taxes? You'd better not. This is Easter Sunday, for goodness sakes. I'd be all up here insulting your mother or something. Who taught you that the only sure things in life are death and taxes? Right? Hallelujah. The only sure things in life are death and taxes. Hallelujah. There are death and taxes indeed. Hallelujah. The first Easter morn, on the dawn of the first day of the week, two women went to the tomb. And they became very sure of something, absolutely certain, in fact, that someone was sitting on the stone. Grave robber? Why? Because the only sure things in life are death and taxes. Except grave robbers don't usually wear white. Grave robbers usually wear something dingy and dark, and they run away when someone else approaches. But this man was sitting on the stone that formerly held Jesus' tomb shut. And his appearance, as it says in the text, was like lightning. And his clothes as white as snow. And he didn't run away when the women appeared. Beneath his feet, there were men lying on the ground as though dead. I thought the dead things were supposed to be inside the tomb. Those guards, as we're told in the text, were there because the chief priests of the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said while he was still alive, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead, and the last fraud will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go make it as secure as you can." So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting the guard. You can see that for these guards, the only sure thing was the possibility of deception of the resurrection. But soon, they weren't so certain. Soon there was an earthquake, a seismos, and a man in white rolled back the tomb and he sat on it. If there were a GPS nearby, it would have said, "Recalculating." A question for you this morning. What things are you so certain of? What in your life is so certain and true? For example, is work the most certain thing in your life? "I load 16 tons. What do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store." Or maybe your sure thing in life is, "I can't get no satisfaction." Or maybe your creed, just maybe your creed, in those places deep down that you don't want to talk about, because there's a grumpy old man living way down deep inside, and he says, "The only sure things in life are death and taxes. Everyone disappoints me. Everybody just wants to take advantage of me. The government wants my money. The only reason I'm here is, well, I don't know. What's it all for? What am I doing here? I even disappoint myself. I've messed up. I don't know what would happen to me if I were to die. I'm not sure of anything. Perhaps it's time for you to do some recalculating. But the source and starting point of your recalculating, if it's yourself or some guru in a book, I guarantee you, you will be disappointed again. And the only sure thing you will be sure of is that you need to do more recalculating. This is where a lot of people live. It's the paradox of recalculation. I just need to readjust again. People everywhere think that their circumstances are so unique. You can't touch this. This is just how it is. God has an answer to that. He says, "You fool. What do I have to do? Send an angel down and make an earthquake and make him sit on a rock? No, that won't be good enough. Maybe I'll send them my son. Yes, I'll send him my son. Maybe they'll listen to him. Maybe they'll see where he goes, to the place that they deserve, the cross. Maybe they'll listen. How about I show them great power in weakness, in sacrificial love for unsure sinners? Then let's rattle their world with an earthquake. And then a messenger, my angel, will speak my word of recalculation to them, to recalculate them to my ways. An angel who says, 'He is not here. He is risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay.' Then go tell his disciples, 'And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you,' said the angel." The women went and they ran to tell the disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came up and they took hold of his feet. And we know from Scripture how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And what is that good news that Jesus brought to them that day that recalculates life, that makes us sure that all of our other certainties are suspect to a power not our own? Simple. It's Easter. It's the recalculation of Jesus' resurrection. If you were there on that first Easter morn, what would you be sure of? Would you think, "Wow, maybe there really, truly, truly is God and an afterlife"? How would you justify your own existence and your own purpose in life? What would your creed be, and who would you worship? I guess the real question today is the resurrection of Jesus a worthy enough event to recalculate your life now? If so, what would that life look like? If Jesus' resurrection is real, would you serve your family better? Would you forgive them for doing wrong and love them even when they're unlovable? Would you care for them? Would you stay committed to them because they're your family and Christ bonded you together in love? If Jesus' resurrection is real, would you work more faithfully at your work, not deceiving your boss, not serving men, but serving Christ? Being faithful in what you do, not deceiving, but being faithful in all your work, and God will reward you, perhaps even in secret. Serve Christ, not man, and not the government. Would you see that serving your church family is as important as serving your family? It's the communion of saints. Sinners? Yeah. The sinners for whom Christ died to save. Brothers and sisters in Christ. Those for whom Christ died and rose for. I remember Jesus from the cross, he told John, And he told his mother, "Mother, woman, behold your son. And son, behold your mother." Jesus from the cross redefined a relationship of family that is the church. My mothers and my brothers, my real mother and my mother mothers are here at church. My sisters, my brothers in Christ, they're here. My fathers, my father, they're all here. They are here because Christ died and rose and made us a family. He gives us his blood. It runs through us all. We're a church family, the communion of saints. If Jesus' resurrection is real and it's true, you're my family. Love them as you love yourself, says Jesus. Would your life be all about your stomach with better beer on the one hand or all the right nutrients on the other? Or would your life be all about serving Christ to your neighbor? First, letting them hear the knowledge that Jesus died and rose for you, friend. And secondly, Jesus himself feeds you. He feeds you. What? Forgiveness. Life. Salvation. Eternal life. This is temporary. 100 years, 70 years, 8, whatever. Christ's life is eternal. What's more important? A beer now? Or bread from the hand of our Lord Jesus Christ? You're my friend. What do you need? Forgiveness? Grace? Friendship? Food if you need it? Clothing if that? Shoes for your feet if that? What about time? Time. Where will you spend the first day of the week for the rest of your life if Jesus' resurrection is true? God says, I'll be here. I'll be in the assembly of the congregation with forgiveness for your sins, bread of life, cup of the new covenant. I won't fail you. Is it too much to ask for you to come and be with me, says the Lord, first day of the week, early in the morning? Maybe sleeping or hiking or traveling or recalculating or whatever it is that you do in worship. Maybe that's more important, right? But God says, I'm going to dwell with sinners, and there's room for you, sinner. Come. We've recently ordered some new chairs for the back of the church. I see we need it today. We hope to have some more chairs. Maybe today, the resurrection of Jesus, if you believe it's real, and it is real, maybe that'll prompt you to say, hey, there's a place for me to come sit at Jesus' feet and worship and hear and grow in my faith and be amongst the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the life everlasting. Come. Maybe today the recalculating news of Jesus' resurrection is for you and will prompt you to come and sit at Jesus' feet and prompt you perhaps to invite someone else who you know is hurting or lonely, sick, feeling down, worthless, apathetic, to be renewed daily by the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and the sure and certain hope that this life may not get any better. But take heart. Jesus says, I have overcome the world. And the resurrection is the proof. There is rest for your labors here. There is community and wisdom to grow in here in Christ. There is a life in a world to come. There is life after death. May your sure and certain statement today be not, the only sure things in life are death and taxes and me insulting your mother, but rather, because Jesus on Good Friday and Jesus on Easter Sunday is real, my sure thing is eternal life. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has made known these things to you, my friends, my family, in Christ Jesus. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Amen. And now, may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.